Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a library, yeah, standing there behind the counter, willing to...
Kia ora, everybody. We've got a special treat today. We're here in the studio with Leanne Radojkovic. Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you.
Leanne is a librarian at Auckland Libraries, yay, who has an MA in creative writing and is the author of a book of short stories that we have in our collections called First Fox. She's also well known for her flash fiction, an exciting genre that we're going to be talking about today, coming up to National Flash Fiction Day, where Leanne has actually been a prize winner. In the past, I'm happy to say I was there on that occasion at Central City Library. You ready to go, Leanne?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
sure.
So I thought we might start with your book.
Okay, yeah.
I really enjoyed reading this book. So it's a really great voice, very personal voice. Ties in, one could use the word quirky, is a bit overused, perhaps not yet too overused. It's my favorite books have always been quirky books. A bit like fairy tales for our time, so there's some dark things that happen. They're very matter-of-factly recorded, like in the fairy tales. But the protagonists also, sometimes there's a twist and they have the last laugh. And sometimes they even actually fly away. So, were you consciously working? Tell us about just keeping creative writing going while also being a librarian. Were you working towards this collection?
Well, I was interested in fairy tales for a time, and so out of that interest grew these stories, and I studied fairy tale narrative techniques and what made them exciting, and perhaps how to join it up with contemporary fiction. And there's lots of contemporary writers that are doing this right now, like Amy Bender, Kelly Link, Camilla Grodova, all sorts of people are exploring how fairy tale techniques can be used in today's fiction. So I just continued along with that. And then at a certain point, there were enough stories to put together a little collection. And I'm a really keen fan of English small presses, and buy a lot of books from England through the small presses. And one of those just put out a submission call, and I thought, well, I'll just see what happens. And they said, yes, we'll take it. That was completely shocking, but fantastic. And so that's what happened. Yeah, that's
just
how came together quite naturally.
Yeah, a bit of a fairy tale in itself.
Totally.
Everybody out there wishes that would be the dream thing that would happen to them. They see a call for submissions, which I think goes to say to people, hey, when you see that call for submissions, don't think they'll never pick me.
That's right. Always try, like, always like release things into the world and just see what happens. Yeah.
When you say you were studying fairy tale narrative, was that was on your own reading up, or did you actually, was that part of your creative writing?
I was thinking of continuing into a PhD, so I did do some study at that level, and then I decided that it was a project I didn't want to continue with because I have so many other things in my life. So I chose to discontinue that line of study, but it didn't really matter because all of the study fed into all the work, and I felt like I got heaps out of that time. I no longer use those techniques now, but for that time it was lots of fun exploring. And the thing I really like about fairy tales is that you have the otherworldly and the everyday worlds combined on the same plane, and I'm really enjoy juxtaposing ordinary and extraordinary elements just to see what might happen, because sometimes it can shine a new light on a situation. So, yeah, it's lots of fun.
Yeah, and a lot of Indigenous literature does that as well. I remember talking to Sri Barford about that.
Yeah.
And there's also, of course, the magic realism strain, which it is a bit similar in that sense of the juxtaposition of which people can take away what they like. So it's a very interactive. The reader is really encouraged to put their own
That's the thing.
Take on it, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you can almost see a line between fairy tales and flash fiction too, because they're both similarly told, or can be told, with a lack of exposition, which I really like. And the form is so small that the reader has to participate in completing the story, because there's a tiny amount of story and you have to imagine what it is when it's been magnified through reading. Graham Lay has said that with flash fiction. You have to read between the lines, and I think that's totally the case, and that's what makes it a fun form as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that just before passing on to, that's a very good introduction to start talking a little bit more about flash fiction, which I hope I've awakened everyone's interest in with my enigmatic introduction, where I just threw it out there.
Yeah.
But we think we'd be really great if you could read us one of the stories or two from, since they are short.
Yeah,
they are short. First Fox.
Yeah, I'll read the title story, which is First Fox. I went to London once. I'd never seen snow before, and on the first night, it came spinning through the light of the street lamps. I'd fallen for a guy who ran a bar in Brighton. We'd gone to stay with his mum. The house was hot and had a potpourri stink. We had wine after wine. I tried to sit politely, but I couldn't help dashing to the window to watch snow thickening on the bushes outside. I didn't know where to put my elbows at dinner. I knocked over my glass, and Pinot Noir bounced off the table, splashing his mum's pale silk blouse. "Oh, don't worry, my dear," she said, dabbing it with her napkin. Drunk as I was, when she looked at me then, I felt the same oily shiver as when I'd glimpsed eels sliding across paddocks back home. I wasn't allowed to sleep in Connor's room, so he snuck down three flights of stairs to mine. I woke with him lying on top of me. Snow glinted past the window above his head. Then he crept back to his room. In the morning, I opened the front door. The air was sharp as champagne. The sun cleared the clouds, and the white garden burst into crystals. I rushed out and made snow angels. I threw snowballs at a tree, screaming beneath as ice lumps broke on my head. The snow tasted delicious, metallic and pure. "Bounds about like a dog," I overheard his mum grumble as I went back up the steps. "You're letting out the heat," she said. I turned to close the door and saw a red shape blaze across the snow. We caught the next train back to Brighton. He never called again.
Oh, very well read. Lovely story. I didn't want to come in too quickly on top of that because that does take a moment of silence. But then I thought if I wait too long, readers are going to wonder if maybe my microphone got turned off permanently. Yeah, that. So I got a distinct vision of that mother as a bit of a the wicked stepmother type.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Wicked mother-in-law type. So it is sort of a things that in a longer story you might slowly build up. You sometimes instead there's just sort of like a tossing of the ball out, isn't there?
Just it's the immediacy of it, because I mean the four main building blocks of short story or story writing is character, setting, conflict resolution, but you can't have all of those things in a story this small. You mightn't have any of them really, or just in an implied way. So yeah, it's really shrinking down. And then the reader increases it through reading it. So,
So through putting in their own experience, identifying parts that remind them of something in their own experience.
Yeah, someone, one writer I read, Graham Mort, compared it to playing Jenga, where you build up, you know, the game, you build it all up, and then you remove as many pieces as you can to have the structure remaining there with all the gaps, and then it's the reader who enters the gaps and completes the structure. And I think that's a really nice metaphor for it.
Yeah, they do say that. I remember somebody, this is too many years back for me to remember, who saying that about poetry, some very famous poet at the time I was reading through all their works, saying that he didn't actually feel that a poem was even complete until it had been read by someone else and they had responded to it, because it was about evoking a response in you.
Yeah.
And so that was what completed the action of writing the poem.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, it's beautiful.
In a way, and also I was just thinking about the way stories appear on the page. With such short, you know, they have prose poems. With such short stories or flash fiction, which we're moving on to in a moment, there is that fact that they are, in a way, prose poems. I mean, they're not, it's not, like you say, it's not touching every one of the building blocks that you're taught in classical literature studies and a short story, which is like gives you that freedom of movement like a poem does.
I think probably the difference between prose poetry and flash fiction is that there is generally a narrative arc. And that makes it a story. So you, at the end of it, you feel like you've read a satisfying story. Yes, I think that just that narrative arc is the small difference there between the two small genres. Yeah.
Have you written poetry yourself?
Oh, many years ago. Yeah. No, not now. No, I just do stories. Yeah.
Well, can you read us one more before we move to flash fiction?
Yeah, sure. This is a little wee one called The Onion. Anna lives with her uncle and auntie. Uncle has fat frog eyes and unwashed, uncombed hair. He eats nothing but soup because of his delicate stomach. Auntie never says a thing. She stands as if one shoulder carries an enormous weight. Her other shoulder constantly trembles. She resembles a moth with a wing plucked off. Every morning, Uncle slurps his soup, complaining, "Too much salt, too much salt." When Auntie goes to market, Uncle drops a spoon in his bowl. He stands close to Anna. He smells of armpits and garlic. Anna ducks away. Grabbing his shoulder bag, she runs out of the house to the track at the end of the village that twists up into a steep, treeless mountain. In spring, orange straw flowers burst through cracks in the rock, but now they are shriveled stalks crunching into dust beneath her feet. The sun rises as she climbs higher. Her shadow falls in front of her, growing longer. She stops at the dry plots of land she tills for Uncle, opens her bag and pulls out a chunk of bread wrapped in a soft cotton square. Chewing very slowly, she gazes down at the village. When she has swallowed the last crumb of bread, she takes an onion out of her bag and lays it on a rock. She lifts her skirt and pisses on it. Later, she'll take it home, chopping it into Uncle's soup, wiping away her smile when he exclaims, "Too much salt."
And I would fit in the category of, say, the last laugh. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Totally.
Which is also, in your fairy tales, there's always that thing of the unexpected, the third son who's the good for nothing of that actually power comes in unexpected places. Yeah. And it's not all about what you're born with, the privilege and the birth order.
Generally, fairy tales are about humble people.
Yeah.
It's really a working class kind of fiction who can somehow overcome their circumstances.
Yeah.
So that's another attraction to fairy tales too. It's just about ordinary people.
Yeah, and also with the roots in oral storytelling, which is another thing about ordinary people. So even before reading and writing existed as a culture, there was the sitting around the fire and telling the stories.
Exactly.
So not sitting around the fire necessarily, but sitting around telling. I wanted to move on to flash fiction because I think this is a really interesting topic. So can you just tell us a little bit about your involvement in flash fiction and the origins? What is flash fiction?
Yeah, flash fiction is basically a very short story, a whole story. The length of that varies. Some people say it's under 1,000 words or 300 or 250. So within that word range, you could say flash fiction. It has other names too, like small fiction, short stories. But everyone recognises flash fiction now.
A lot of people might not know word count. So 250 words that you were saying is the lower indication. That's about a long paragraph, isn't it? 250 words.
Yeah, I guess that last story was probably about 300 words. So it's one A4 page, double-spaced typed. And that was really the start of it. It was in the 1980s when Florida State University did a competition called the World's Best Short Story Prize, and that said 250 words for that reason, the one page or one pager. And they just thought, this would be a fun challenge, like painting a landscape on a rice grain of rice.
Yeah,
I'm not thinking anything would happen, and then thousands of people sent in these stories, and in a way it was kind of a flashpoint because that competition revealed the interest in the scale of the form, and then just more competitions, zines, apps, websites, it just kind of mushroomed, including in New Zealand in the 1996. The Literary Journal, quote-unquote, ran a competition similar to that. The challenge was under 500 words, and to the editor's amazement, they just got hundreds of people sending stories in, which inspired them to release an anthology called 100 New Zealand Short Stories, which included established writers like Sargeson and Patricia Grace, Betty Humaira. So it just went to the top of the bestseller list, which was another shock, and it stayed there for weeks. And so the editors thought, oh my God, we'll do a second one. Same thing, third one, fourth one, fourth one. So they did four of these anthologies in 4 years. It was really successful. So clearly people really like the scale of the form.
Yeah.
And it's just gone from strength to strength. In 2011, the BNZ Literary Awards included their first flash category. 2014, North and South Magazine established a competition for short stories. The Listener published a bunch last year, and coming out this year, Canterbury University Press are bringing out an anthology of New Zealand flash called Bonsai. So I think that might be in September. So it's, for a really tiny little story, it's created a lot of space for itself. But I think the generation of the space really, most importantly, came through two projects started in 2012 by Michelle Alvey and Sean Williams, and that's the National Flash Fiction Day competition and a bi-monthly online journal called Flash Frontier. And both of those projects just go from strength to strength. They're just amazingly powerful. They've generated community and skills, and I know, it's just been an amazing thing to be part of and to watch.
Yeah, so Flash Fiction Day is coming up this weekend. Next weekend.
Yeah, 22nd.
22nd.
Yeah, it's the shortest day celebrating the shortest story, and there's free events for everyone to come to in Auckland, Northland, Wellington, Dunedin, Christchurch. The Auckland one is at 6:30 in town at the AUT International House, which is Rutland and Wakefield Street. Just come along. It's a really fun night. Lots of stories get read. Lots of prize winners. And Vaughan Rapatahana and Patrick Pink, the previous winner, will be speaking as well.
And there will be prizes awarded.
Yeah, prizes, lots of readings. It's a really fun night. Yeah,
I remember we had several of those. Central Library was honored to host those. And I do remember a great attendance. Of also what I really liked was how it stretches completely through all age groups. It's not, doesn't turn up its nose. It's obviously a welcoming category for.
It's really welcoming.
Yeah.
And last year, the competition included a youth category for the first time. And this year, it's including Te Reo Māori categories in youth and adults. So it just keeps expanding. And as it expands, more and more people become involved. So it's really in a growth phase.
I might actually correct myself when I said coming up this weekend. I don't know why. I was just thinking it was a holiday. It had to be a weekend. But it's actually in the middle. It's a midweek because it falls on the 22nd, being the shortest day of the year. It's not chosen by picking a holiday according to the calendar, what's a weekend. It's chosen. It has to be on that shortest day of the year, of course. So that if somebody wanted to get involved in Flash Fiction, what would they do? They would go and read the website. They would go visit.
Yes, there's the National Flash Fiction Day New Zealand website, also Flash Frontier. So if you Google both of those and go onto their websites, you'll find heaps of information and ways to join in as well.
Yeah. And I think, is there a Facebook page as well?
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter. So.
And is that part of the Auckland Flash Fiction Michelle Alvey, or is that the national?
It's national.
National.
Yeah, but each main centre has their own organising committee as well. But it's all there on the websites, and you can find a place close to you. Yeah.
I wonder if this is, if it's a bit like, you know, National Novel Writing Month is also, is another similar thing where communities get created among people who do not already know each other, but they're tied together not by where they're from or what they're like, but by the what they're passionate about
about
their creativity.
Yeah.
But I think national novel writing is a bit, you have to be kind of hardcore because you have to be willing to commit to thousands of words a day to write a novel in a month. And it's more about getting out there in the best way possible, a kernel that you have in your mind that you wanted to put out there to people. Do people share also? I know this is a very supportive community. Mm. People seem very generous with their time and support of other people's writing.
Yeah. Well, lots of flash ecosystems have evolved. They're very nurturing spaces, partly because of the online options that are available now. Because if you post a story somewhere, well, writers and readers can communicate in real time via social media. And there's likes, shares, links, comments. I mean, there's so many ways to have a chat. And that generates the community and also skills for both parties, readers and writers. And readers are writers and
Right,
so it all works in really nice.
And librarians are often both.
That's right.
Have you got some examples that you could you read us something?
Yeah, I'll read you one of my favorite stories is by Janet Frame from the Lagoon, her first story collection. It's called
Who possibly did not put this forth as flash fiction.
No, that's right.
That wouldn't have known. But
no, but it proves that short stories have always been with us.
Yes.
So it's called The Birds Began to Sing. The birds began to sing. There were 24 of them, and they were blackbirds. And I said, what are you singing all day and night, in the sun and the dark and the rain, and in the wind that turns the tops of the trees silver? We are singing, they said. We are singing, and we have just begun, and we've got a long way to sing, and we can't stop. We've got to go on and singing. The birds began to sing. I put on my coat and I walked in the rain over the hills. I walked through swamps full of red water and down gullies covered in snowberries and then up gullies again with snow grass growing there and spear grass and over creeks near Flax and Tussock and Manuka. I saw a pine tree on the top of a hill. I saw a skylark dipping and rising. I saw it was snowing somewhere over the hills but not where I was. I stood on a hill and looked and looked. I wasn't singing. I tried to sing, but I couldn't think of the song. So I went back home to the boarding house where I live, and I sat on the stairs in the front, and I listened. I listened with my head and my eyes and my brain and my hands, with my body. The birds began to sing. They were blackbirds singing on the telegraph wires and hopping on the apple trees. There were 24 of them singing. What is this song? I said. Tell me the name of the song. I am a human being, and I read books, and I hear music, and I like to see things in print. I like to see vivace andante, words by, music by, performed by, written for. So I said, what is the name of this song? Tell me, and I will write it, and you can listen at my window when I get the finest musicians in the country to play it, and you will feel so nice to hear your song. So tell me the name. They stopped singing. It was dark outside, although the sun was shining. It was dark, and there was no more singing.
Very well, Janet Frame.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, she's really... It's a command. It's a commanding performance.
But it shows how you can say so much more than what you say.
Yeah.
Through lots... omissions and metaphor and allusion or just, you know, behavioural clue, telling detail. All these tiny magic touches build magic stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there, do you notice different currents in flash fiction? Are there some which are more meditative and some which are more, I don't want to say aggressive, more energetic and are there, or?
I think, that's the voice of the writer will provide the tone, I guess, but there are, Flash itself is evolving, and there's a lot of interest in flash memoir, flash novellas, interlinked flash stories like Frankie McMillan's
My Mother and the Hungarians.
Yeah, I mean, that's the classic case of interlinked flash stories. The form itself is evolving. I really like the idea of reading the flash novella, you might say, where it's just little pieces put together, but you connect it, you, the reader, provide the unsaid that goes with the said. And as a reader, I love the puzzle of that.
Yeah. Have you read Maggie Nelson's book, The Argonauts? So that was similar to me when you say flash memoir. It's not called flash fiction. Yeah. It's not put out there as flash fiction. It's not even really put out as fiction. It is a memoir, but it has that thing of the, it's all told in paragraphs, and mm-hmm. each one gives you its own... I'm thinking coup. it's got its own little, but blow doesn't sound quite right. It's got its own, it's like striking a match and it flames up. Exactly. It's like you've got a book of matches and you strike in the old, not book, box of those Swedish wooden matches and you strike the first one and it flames up for a minute and then that goes and then you strike the next one.
Yes.
It's kind of like you're setting out in the dark and then there's these flashes on the page.
Like fireflies.
But I did read that, My Mother and the Hungarians. I loved it. I loved it. And that one a prize, I think, was that?
It was.
Or it was shortlisted.
Yeah, for the Occams.
Yeah, for the Occams, yeah.
That's right. So,
absolutely fantastic writer. Who else should we be looking for? Is there someone else we should be looking out for?
I think in New Zealand, like, start local, and I reckon just start with reading Flash Frontier online, and there's so many writers there, and you'll find writers that you enjoy, and then you can link through to other stories that they've done. So yeah, that's where I'd start with. Yeah.
It does sound like a really, that online ability to get in online before you have to start, making time out of your busy day at a time when it's maybe you're working a full-time job like you, you know, so that be able to use that evenings or whatever time works for you. It's
well, the online space is brilliant because you're on your phone all day and you can just browse the stuff, read the content on your phone. Maybe just one screen will cover a whole story, so it's just easy to fit it into your life.
Yeah, it definitely ties into that thing of taking it with you, so wherever you are, you sit for a moment and you've got this little voyage in your pocket.
Like a little
passport, always stamped.
So
we do have a few more minutes. Do you have something more for us to
I could read you one more story.
One of yours?
This one isn't in the book, but anyway, it's called Hummingbird. I had sex with this guy once because he looked like Liam. We hadn't said five words to one another when I led him away from the party down to the end of the garden. Wasn't that a little dangerous? My friend Karen asked. He could have been a nutcase, an axe murderer. Really, he was just a pissed young guy, lanky as Liam had been, with shoulders was so wide he rocked like a boat when he walked. I almost married Liam before he was hospitalized. He was only slightly crackers then. The sweetness drew me in. He said I was as beautiful as an eyelash, a heartburst, a hummingbird that had melted into his being. There are too many people in the room, he said one day. Actually, there was only me and him. He'd gone tense as a cat, staring into air. I can see their fire room. I called an ambulance when I found him hiding in the wardrobe, crouched down, sobbing in my dressing gown. For a long time when I visited, he lay in bed, watching the ceiling. He was always in the same position, as if I'd never left. I'd stroke his hand and he'd turn to me with such a sweet expression that a feeling of gentle loveliness would sweep through me. Meanwhile, Liam was losing weight. His skin was almost see-through. His knuckles grew huge, his cheekbones sharp as tent poles. One day, he glanced up with those sweet eyes and said to me, "Nurse, open the window. We have to let the hummingbird free."
Wow. It's a very emotional read for you, I can see. Yeah. Is that a recent story?
No, it's old. It's completely made up. And it was printed in North and South in the first competition thing. But, it's kind of beautiful, I think.
Yeah. Well, what does completely made up mean? It's, there was not a person named Liam.
No, nothing.
But
I don't know where it comes from. It's just some kind of imaginary space. You just start playing around with words and ideas, and then things kind of gel. I try never to write from experience. My actual experience, because I've done it, I'm bored with something new.
But, in a way, my question was actually a bit ironic in the sense that what does it mean, completely made up or not? Because it might mean you're not recording a physical thing that happened, but it's always coming from within you, from the experiences you've had. So I'm getting a sign here that, I wish we could keep talking, but everybody, so we now know, go to your Flash Fiction, Google it, and you can get started, and you can come along to the Flash Fiction Day celebration.
That would be fabulous.
And Leanne will be there.
And
she'll see you there. And step up and say you heard her on the radio. Thanks so much for coming, Leanne.
Thank you, Karen.
Brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM. or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/booksandbeyond. Every day, every day.